Well, the growing population of Parramatta and surrounding suburbs has offered excellent opportunity for outreach of the gospel. It says in this book, The History of Parramatta Core, written and compiled by Aileen Godkin. Now, people have been clearing out recently and moving to Constitution Hill, I think. And I've acquired actually a couple of copies of this book, which are fascinating reading. Who's read it? Yeah, it's a great read and a great book. Our very first outpost, it says, was opened in 1892 in the home of some Parramatta soldiers. Captain Gunner, who was the Corps officer back in the 1890s, filed his own report about it. He said, "This was a glorious success, and we're believing for some mighty, sweeping, devil-defeating times. Some of our soldiers have spread themselves out a bit and carried the fire to this locality," and he was talking about Marylands, "and it promises to spread all around them and into the hearts of the people. A good number came along at the sound of the cornet and the drum, and some old ranters, whatever a ranter is, got the glory, and the meeting went spinning on, carrying conviction. Tears could be seen in many faces, and ere we closed, we rejoiced over one who came out boldly and got saved." There are many here who know far better than I do about the history of Parramatta's Salvation Army. But as I have read some of this book, haven't finished it yet, I've read about prison ministry that Parramatta was involved in, services being held in Parramatta Park, tape ministry that went far and wide. In fact, it even mentioned the moles and how you used to receive the tapes of the meetings from Parramatta, as well as outposts all over the place. Marylands that I've just mentioned, Carlingford, Toongabie, Auburn, Granville, Dundas, and there is some debate as whether something happened in Castle Hill as well. Someone might be able to tell me whether that's accurate or not. There is no doubt that the Lord has done great things in and through the Salvation Army Parramatta. And if you read this book, you cannot deny that great things have happened here. Well, today we celebrate because God is not finished with us yet. And we commence this new 3-week series titled Greater Things. And over this series, we consider today that the Lord has done great things. Then we will look next week that the Lord is doing great things. And then finally, that the Lord will do even greater things. Well, the word great is used frequently to describe many things. And I said in the 9:30, and I'll say it again, that over the next few minutes, I will use the word great more than I have ever used it in such a short period of time. But we say things like, it's been a great day. What about Alexander, who they referred to as Alexander the Great? In my house, we hear phrases like, excuse me, oh, that was a great goal, a great catch, a great mark, a great game of sport. What about a great love story? But I was curious to what the actual definition of great means. I know what we mean when we say it. But one definition that I read says this, that great is of an extent, amount, or intensity considerably above average. And when I apply this to my thinking for today, I have to agree that the Lord has done things that are way above average. Personally, I can think of things in my own life that the Lord has done for me that are above average. Some of these things previously I may have taken for granted, but I hope that I no longer do. I think of my family. You may not all agree that they're above average, but my family of origin, as well as Dave and our sons. As I get older, I reflect more on my upbringing, and the love and the support of my family. And I am more and more aware of the number of people who have not experienced that. Another great thing that God has done for me is he's given me a purpose. And I frequently thank God for placing us here in Sydney, a city that I love with a spectacular harbour and, you know, my love for the amazing Sydney Harbour Bridge. But to be in the city of Parramatta and in this place, in this core, it's great for me. My life is blessed and I would say above average. And it's because of God that it is. But for many, and again, I include myself in this, sometimes life is not always great. There have been difficult times. There are difficult times. But through it all, I still believe that it's important that we reflect on the great things that God has done. We heard just only a few moments ago from Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. This psalm, in the New International Version at least, says that it's a song of ascents, and it's related to Israel's return from exile. And there is no doubt that the Israelites had some very difficult times in their lives. They had times when things were good, but they had times when they were captured, they were taken to a different country, a different land, they worked as slaves, they didn't live as free people. There were times when they were attacked, when they had to fight for their lives. There were times when they wandered around in the desert for years and years. And throughout this period, there were times in that when they trusted God and times when they did not trust what God was doing. But then they were set free. God brought them back to where they belonged. Their hope had come true. Their prayers had probably been answered. And suddenly they were filled with joy that God had rescued them. And other nations saw this, other people saw this, and they said that the Lord had done great things for them. They knew what God had done for them and they celebrated. The Israelites were filled with joy. Looking back, they could see how the Lord had been doing great things for them throughout their lives. Well, next year, the Salvation Army Parramatta is 140 years old, and I'm sure that we will have opportunity to look back in more detail than we have done this morning and be reminded again of the great things that the Lord has done for us corporately. Just as we can consider what the Lord did for the Israelites. Now, I'm not sure about you, but sometimes I can easily marvel at the great things that God has done. It can be, for me, as simple as looking at creation. And it's true, I did make the people from the basketball netball carnival go out for a walk one night to find the koala that I'd seen in the morning. And it's true, we couldn't see it because it was dark, but it hadn't moved. It was still in the same tree the next morning. And I'm one of these people, as you know, Dave and I walk in the mornings and I collect things as we walk. At the moment, it's feathers, which Dave tells me nearly every day that they're probably germ-infested and you're bringing them into our house, but that's okay. But the greatness of creation. We were privileged as a family to visit the Grand Canyon back in January. And while it was still covered in snow when we were there, talk about the greatness of God and the greatness of creation. Although a true story, someone in our family who shall remain nameless said multiple times, I just had no idea it was so big. To which I replied multiple times, which part of grand did you not understand? But how great is the creation of God. But another thing that I marvel at often is how God uses ordinary people to achieve great things. Think of some of the most well-known people in Scripture. Regular people, people like King David, and we looked at him earlier this year, and how just as a boy, there was a calling on his life and all the amazing things that he went on to do. Or the Apostle Paul, who had previously persecuted the Christian church and encountered Jesus and then went on and did great work for God, spreading the gospel. Or if you want to read about quite a number of the people in Scripture, in one chapter, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, you can read about other ordinary people who did great things. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. And because he obeyed, God used him for greatness, and he became the father of many nations. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, and we know that story. Although his parents, it says in Scripture there, they saw that he was no ordinary child. And we would now have to agree, because he went on to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and to the edge of the promised land before Joshua took over, which is where we meet the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies and she was not killed with those who were disobedient. Rahab hid the spies who had gone to see the promised land before Joshua led the Israelites there. She was just an ordinary person, and in fact, some people in society would say that she was less than ordinary, and yet God still used her, and here we are still talking about her for his greatness. But why does God do great things? Quite simply, it's because he is great. In Jeremiah 10, we read, "No one is like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not fear you, King of the nations? This is your due. Among all wise leaders of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is no one. There is no one like you. You are great." This is one verse in Scripture that reminds us of this fact, that God is great. In Psalm 77, the psalmist actually asks the question, what God is so great as our God? And the conclusion that he comes to is that there is no other God as great as our God. Our God has done great things, because he is great, and there is no other God like him. And we also know that God's acts are great. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. I've already mentioned the greatness of creation, whether that is outside, whether that's the creation of people. I've already mentioned Moses, and we often and frequently associate Moses with the parting of the Red Sea, which was another great act of God. Or what about the greatness of the resurrection of Jesus? All because God's love is also great. His love for us is way above average, if we want to go back to that definition. I praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. For great is your love. In the birth, in the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, we truly see the greatness of God, as well as his great acts and his great love. So, what is it that comes to mind for you when you consider the great things that the Lord has done? I do like to stop and reflect and to consider what God has done. And I never want to forget his goodness to me. But at the same time, I don't want to stay dwelling just on that, because I also want to use that to consider the future and to be excited for the days ahead, to consider the even greater things that God has in store for me, for you, for our family, for our friends, for this place. I've been in other appointments and positions that I've thought within the Salvation Army, this is fantastic, I could stay here forever. And then sometimes, metaphorically, I leave kicking and screaming to the next appointment that the Salvation Army is sending me to. And the next appointment is great. God has greater things in store for us. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, Jesus said. There is no doubt that the Lord has done great things for each one of us, great things for the Salvation Army Parramatta. But there are even greater things to come.